Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Welcome back to Coolin' Out. We back.
Kev.
Sal.
Rel. We in the building with Crim Della, a.k.a. Black Zeus.
What up?
Yeah. NYC Grind Event winner. What's up, man? How you been? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm in a positive mood right now.
You're in a positive
mood? Positive day. You know what I'm saying? Making moves towards Bury Me and Gold Volume 2, so that's always positive.
Nice. Yeah.
I like I'm good.
Yeah. Where you want to start?
Wherever.
The beginning.
That the beginning.
Where it all started.
Be terrible with this. Position my shit.
He in the back trying to finagle his Insta Live.
Trying
to get these angles popping.
Zero watches. Watch.
You good? You got the good lighting?
Man,
that phone new. That battery might.
What? My phone.
Okay, so your battery equipped.
Nah, it's not great, but that should change.
Oh yeah, I could tell you ain't you don't do this often.
No, I don't do live. it's
checking connection now. All right, we good.
All right, we good?
Yeah, let's start.
Let's get it. All right. So where you from, man?
Harlem, New York, born and raised.
Harlem.
Whole life.
Oh, yeah. Water Harlem West.
Dipset?
Yeah, I'm from. Yo, I used to hate
Bird Gang for life.
But yo, nah, 112, 7th Avenue. You know, if you're a real Harlemite, you know 7th Avenue.
I mean, goes without saying.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
You know where that is?
Of course not.
Oh.
No. Maybe
I like,
that's
not
where Apollo is. Apollo on?
Apollo is between 7th Avenue and 8th Avenue. If you're a Harlem person, like, so 7th Avenue now is technically Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard.
Okay.
I do know that.
Yeah, okay. That's,
but I call it 7th and 8th.
Thank you. Okay.
Lenox is just Lenox.
Now I know. Okay. Yeah, I'm like, yo, where's 7th Ave?
Yeah, that's right. Main Street through Harlem. Yeah.
Adam. All right, cool. So, talk to the people. You rap, you make. I don't like calling people rappers. Sometimes people get offended by that.
Nah.
Artists?
I don't get it. I don't get offended because you could be a rapper and artist and all of that. As long as you're just not just a rapper. Because I was saying earlier on my Instagram, I was like, you know, some people, like, they just get stuck on just trying to out-rap everybody, and that's not really what it's about.
Yeah.
You trying to bar them to death?
Yeah, I'm not trying to bar people to death all the time. Like, for me, it's, like, about making music, and, like, I like the songwriter. All the people I look up to, well, above all else, songwriters, like the Jay-Z's, the Eminem, they wrote songs. So it's like they can rap good, but they can also write songs. So sometimes when you're writing a song, you might have to sacrifice trying to over-rap for like whatever fits that song. And so that's what I'm about, you know. I just want to make the best music possible.
What kind of music? Like, what kind of music would you classify your? How would you classify your music?
I think it's like it's almost like I don't like the word conscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come from a very activist background. My father was a Pan-Africanist. And actually, they just named the street after him in Harlem on, I think it's the Southwest Quarter of 125th Street.
Right.
So if you go there.
After your pops?
Yeah, it's Alambé Brathwaite. It just happened last Saturday, I think it was.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So he was, thank you very much. Yeah, so he was a activist and very Pan-Africanist, and he was very much into Africa and knowing your roots and stuff like that. A lot of teachers from Marcus Garvey, things like that. But, like, I come from that, and so because it's embedded into who I am, I can't help but like have certain things in my music that connect to it. But I really just make music about who I am, what I've been through, and life experiences. You know, for me, it's more like it's about sharing yourself with somebody, because you never know who might be like you or might be going through and be able to connect with what you're saying. So I make music to connect with people, touch people at important parts of their life. And so, I mean, that's what I think. That's what I think when I make my music. That's why I try not to hold back.
Yeah.
And I try to just be straightforward with how I'm feeling when I'm writing a song. Yeah. Things like that. But it's hard to classify it. It's like, I'm very much inspired by DMX. That's one of my favorite rappers of all time. Yeah, that's my dude, X, like, barking at niggas and shit. But very much inspired by, I would say, DMX. But also a big fan of Eminem, Jay, all of those people. So I would say my music is just basically in a realm where, like, it feels like revolution, but it also feels like fun. It feels like you could be yourself, and that's what I want to do. So I want to be able to make music that's like this, but I also want to be able to make music that can turn you up, and I want to incorporate all those ideas into it. Because even when I'm having fun and I'm partying, I'm also thinking about all types of different things. So it's like, who's to say you can't turn up but then also do this? So if I want to go to from A Boogie to fucking Kendrick Lamar, from A Boogie to Rhapsody or Drake, like, what the fuck is the problem?
Yeah,
I'm gonna listen to some Uzi first, and then I'm gonna go listen to
Drake.
Yeah, or Drake or some shit, or fucking Kendrick. Like, it's all right. It's a spectrum. Like, you got to be able to be human.
Yeah. How long have you been making music?
Shit, I started writing rhymes when I was like 12, 13, something like that. Mm. But I really started like. So here's a funny story. The first rhyme I ever wrote, right? Yeah. I was an uber gangster in this rhyme. My brothers was like, so I have a lot of older brothers, right? There's a lot of us. And so two of my older brothers, the ones that are closest in age, just 7 years and 14 years apart, right?
Hey, your boss was fucking.
He was older. Yeah, he was. He was fucking. My oldest brother is 20 years older than me. My sister's probably 22 years older than me, something like that. Wow. Yeah, maybe
shout
even more.
Shout out to your pops. That's why you got a street name down
there. Yeah, he's out here. But, I had this rap, right? And I remember it was like, I'ma spit to you headless, spit to you something. Something to you that spit to you headless. I leave a nigga dead like to see some shit like that. And my brothers is like, yo, you actually... You got some high punchlines, but you're not gonna do any of that.
Yeah.
So how about you just rap about, you know? And so then I started getting into cannabis and shit, and I was like on that lyrical shit, and then just, you know, from there I just kept writing. It was the only thing I kept doing because I used to draw comic books with my cousin, who's still a comic book artist now. So it's like we went in different directions. We used to write rhymes together, and then we drew together. But then I kept doing rhymes. He kept doing art. So that's like how I guess I grew up doing it. And then I think around, I was always writing songs in my notebook. Like, that was always my main focus, to know how to write songs. And then it just evolved over years as I, like, my life evolved, you know, became more of an adult. I understood things in a different realm. I held back less. So, and that's, I guess, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's, yeah.
And when would you say you found your style?
Probably in the last 2-3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because, all right, so I did this exercise that became a mixtape, and I was like very much into the idea of infusing trap sounds, trap flows with like conscious music and ideals. And because I think conscious, people get this idea that conscious music is like always peace. Like, nah, that shit could be like rebellious, like fuck you, you know, very much like Public Enemy, right? And so when I thought about it, I was like, you know, I want to try and do something that infuses those two together. So I did this thing called the Zoo Styles, and every month I had my man Oye come through, my boy Paco the G-Train Bandit, and we'd shoot. I'd create songs with Paco, and then we'd create the song, he'd mix it, then we just shoot a video. And I'd do it every month, and it was called the Zoo Styles. And that was really like an exercise, and it turned into a mixtape called God King Zoo Styles. But a lot of those songs was like very much like infusing Migos flows and all types of different flows with like different ideas. Like, I had a song called Madiba, and it was like, Madiba, Madiba, we screaming for freedom, we on that Madiba. And like, I didn't realize it back then, but it really was an exercise in songwriting, exercising like knowing how to interpret and infuse those ideas into different things. It's not one of my favorite projects now, but then after that it led me to the point where I could create my last project, which is on iTunes, Spotify, all of that stuff now, called Bury Me in Gold Volume 1, produced entirely by Minecraft. And so it put me in a place where I could make those songs, where it wasn't just so focused on just being those songs. It can like be me as well, instead of it just being like, yo, this is what they doing to us. But it's like, this is what I'm going through, and this is how it relates to what's happening in the overall spectrum.
Do you find it difficult to stay true to yourself and your music and the sound that you want to create, knowing that most rappers nowadays are talking about killing people or doing drugs and like kind of have very similar sounds? Not all rappers, but most rappers.
No, I'm kidding.
Nah, it's not hard for me because it's like, here's the thing. So I've been around gangsters, like real people that have like been around, you know, that came up doing shit like from the 80s. Like if you look at the age gap to my brothers, I got brothers that grew up in the 80s. The 80s Harlem is completely different from this Harlem. So I've heard stories, I've seen things. So when you're around people that are really like that, it's like, why would I want to pretend I'm that type of dude?
And get
I can't, because you nigga might catch you. You're in the wrong place. Somebody might check you on that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to play like I'm a gangster because it's not who I am. I'm just going to try and write the music that's most true to me because, like, I don't want to pretend to be somebody I'm not. You know what I mean? And so it's not pressure for me because I think, you know, you see the Kendrick Lamars and to some extent the Drakes and J. Cole's, like, they're being themselves. You know what I mean? So if they can do it, I can do it. I'm just as skilled as they are. I know I am. You know what I mean? Because you can tell from watching the interviews, we came from the same school and the same upbringing in hip hop. So if they can do amazing things, who says I can't? So I just have to, I just had to be very conscious that I'm not going to be an average rapper and my road might be a little longer. You know what I mean? Because I'm not doing microwave shit. I'm not doing shit that's just in now. You know what I mean? So my road might be a little longer. So it is what it is.
You'll stay though.
That's the point. I don't want to get in here and have a year or two.
Yeah.
But I got time for that. Like, if I'm getting in here, I want to be here.
Yeah.
This is a very, I want to say, weird question. I don't know. It literally just popped in my head. Because you're talking about, like, older brothers who grew up in the 80s Harlem and, like, having those experiences and, like, you basically learning through those experiences. And you growing up in Harlem also during your youth. And now you see how much Harlem is changing. Does any of that like influence your music? Because like now you still live in Harlem, so you're living a different lifestyle than you lived a couple of years ago.
Well, Harlem is very interesting because as gentrified as it is, it's a little bit different than I think gentrified parts of Brooklyn. Because Harlem is still Harlem. Like shit still go down. Like it still go down. So it's a little bit different. But it's very interesting because I've been like having some back and forth conversations with like a video crew to do a video for one of my songs, and it has to do with the change in Harlem and gentrification and how that affects the people who grew up there. So it's like, for me, you know what I mean, I still see the essence, the soul of Harlem, because Harlem is a very, very, like, if you meet people from Harlem, very sure and very confident all the time, no matter what, loud, you know what I mean? And so Harlem has a different kind of soul to it that's hard to just extinguish. So I don't know. It still feels like Harlem to me, but it also is very different because when I was growing up in Harlem, the blocks that you could walk, it was different. You know what I mean? So, but then you still got the crack blocks right next to me. It's the crack block. I walk up that block, it's mad crackheads. Then around the corner, it's like real nice. Brand new buildings. It's just weird. It's like there's mad crackheads on this block. But the crackheads are even gentrified now because you see white crackheads. I'm dead serious. It's more of them. You see them? Yo, white crackheads out there. I'm like, yo, why? You came here just to be a crackhead. Wow, that is gentrification right there as a motherfucker,
I have a question. Well, we all got questions. But what's Black Zeus? Because I know your name is Crindella.
Yeah.
And then I heard you saying it in a couple of your songs and bringing it up. What does that mean to you?
Black Zeus is, so I created a collective called the Black God Pantheon, and it's like a multidisciplinary collective. You know, everybody tries raps here and there, but it's really more about, you know, expressing yourself. Like Ashley Woozie, she's in the collective. She's an actress. That's mainly what she does. You might hear her do a songwriting or sing or maybe rap here and there, but she's an actress. My cousin Branson, he may rap here and there. He's an artist. Real Ishmael is a rapper. Rasheed My Day, producer, singer, songwriter, rapper, Precious Gorgeous, actor, rapper, you know, playwright. So I think that, so Black Zeus came to me in a dream. I was sleeping, it was a couple years ago. I was sleeping and I just kept hearing Zeus, Black Zeus in my dream. And I woke up and I yelled this shit. I swear to you, it really happened. I woke up and I yelled this shit. And a lot of my music, if you wanted to say like a sound, like a thing that's different about my music. I have a lot of connection and like ancestors, like it's almost spiritual and weird. So when I got that, I knew that it was coming from somewhere beyond. Yeah. So that's why I adopted that name. And it connected me to this whole idea. Then I came up with the Black God Pantheon. The idea is like when you see like images of divinity on television, they're never brown, you know, they're never black. Usually, like, not a lot, you know what I'm saying? You see a lot of in movies, you see these brown, I mean, not brown, like blue eyed Egyptians or blue eyed Egyptian gods, all that type of shit.
People speak about that all the time.
Exactly. So, the Black God Pantheon was just this idea of like knowing that you have divinity in you as well as a brown person. So, that's really the ultimate idea, you know what I mean? That just, it's not about knocking anybody else down for their what they know they have in them, but it's just for you to know, like, you got it too. Like, you are God. It's in you. You can't, you know, so you can't have this assumption that God said, or whatever you believe God is, because for me, God is the universe, but that there's no divinity in you if you're in God's image. So understand that that power is in you too. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it is, the idea is.
I like the term because I always liked Zeus growing up watching Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
And the stars, I'm into stars, constellations, and stuff. Yeah. So Zeus plays a major role in everything, basically, in Greek mythology. So
yeah.
I kind of like the fact that this is the first time I'm hearing someone actually use Zeus
in yeah.
a positive way.
Yeah, and I also wanted to flip it because there's this whole idea of like Greek gods and Greek ideology being very connected and stolen from Egypt. So that's why I was like, Black Zeus. Really just it's really just Shango, but I wanted to do it in a way where it was really more like a tongue-in-cheek thing. I think that's the right way to explain it. I don't know. But anyway, that's why I thought, that's where I think it came from. I don't know. Yeah.
The very first song in your SoundCloud, you mm-hmm. sent us, clicked it. I think it's called Always?
On Me.
No.
On Me?
No, it's a freestyle.
Oh, already. That's already. A freestyle I did already. To my man, Kemba. He's dope. Upcoming MC in New York, getting a lot of attention. And he had issued a challenge. He was like, yo, I want to see some MCs do a freestyle of this song I had. And I was like, you know what? I fuck with him. So I'm like, I'm going to do it. I generally wouldn't do that, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And I just did the freestyle.
Yeah, they say first impressions. That was a gut punch.
Yeah,
I immediately texted them like, okay, and then I ran down the rest of your page. And that's when we invited.
That's the bars. Like, when I just do bars, that's what that is.
I was at work, and Kev was like, "Listen to this," mm-hmm. and I listened to that.
I never do that, by the way. I never do that, especially.
The next day, he was like, "Did you listen to this?" I was like, "Nah, not yet. Listen to it." He like did that constantly until I listened to it, and I was like, "Shit, this kid is fire." I was like,
That's when you do the bars. The other stuff is more songwriting, but that was just like, I'm just gonna get them bars.
Mm. I was just wondering the process behind that. He issues a challenge, and then you sit down and you write a little.
You know what it was? He put out the beat. By itself for the song. I like the song a lot, so I was like, I want to do this, but I don't want to copy him. I want to just do my own thing. And so I just sat with it for a little bit and wrote the rhyme, and that's what came out. Because when I get in the mode, because I came from battling in high school and in college here and there, and always being the best rapper on campus and shit. So I came from like wowing people all the time, and it kind of got boring after a while. I was like, you know, even when I write bars now, I get bored sometimes. I'm like, yeah, these are bars, but like, This ain't gonna touch nobody hard. Somebody might be like, oh shit, he said that. And I'm just like, all right, that's cool. But you know what I mean? You gotta have those, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, for that, I like those rounds, because those are a little bit, even though they were bars, they were a little bit more personalized. Like, I was saying shit that connects to like my history and shit. But that's really what it is, you know what I mean? Sometimes certain things call for this, and certain things call for, okay, how does this connect to the overall theme of the song and concept?
Got you. Yeah. What's your process like when you're creating music?
I would say my process is like, so recently I've been working with a specific producer. I was just at his crib and we was going like fixing up stuff for the next project, and he'll just send me a beat. I'll sit with it. Sometimes it automatically comes to me, sometimes it doesn't. And then I might come up with a concept, usually start with a hook. Sometimes I start with a verse. Mm-hmm. Usually start with a hook. And then I build from there. And usually what happens is it's a lot of back and forth between me and the producer, the way I want to do it. You know what I'm saying? So with him, usually it is like, all right, this song I did. Okay, I'm going to listen to it. Ass tight, but you can maybe switch up the flow here. or maybe, you know what I mean, I like this idea, whatever like that, but you could re-record it because you didn't feel, you didn't sound as adamant as you could be. So it's really like a back and forth, and I might send it to some friends and they might give me some feedback or whatever like that. Because, you know, when you're a writer, sometimes you can be so caught up in your own voice that sometimes you need feedback from other people or whatever like that, and it'll make you look at the, you know, what you're creating. So I have a really strong musical team, but at the same time, I think my process is I just let it go back to it afterwards and see if it still sticks. Sometimes I gotta sit with a song for a while to know if I really like it. Yeah.
Gotcha. So the two songs, well, there's three, it's Already. The other one of my favorites is Blanglish.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's black and Spanish, because you go
yeah,
all
yeah, yeah,
at the same time you speak in
English. Yeah.
Well, how did that come about?
Yo, I used to work at Kennedy High School. I was at the night school program, and I had a homegirl there, and she's half Haitian, half Puerto Rican. And I had the idea in my head. I'm like, I want to do a song where I'm like rapping, but the end of the line is Spanish. And so I was like coming through words with her because I wanted to make sure I didn't come off like I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. So I was like, yo, what about this? And she was like, oh, you can say this. And I was like, eh. And then I was switching it up, but I would like let her hear it. And then I just finished it from there, recorded it, and it just, people really like that song too. That's like one of the old songs that I did on the God King project, which I think those stuff was like really more fine tuning and learning how to tune my songwriting and ideas. But that one is just one that sticks with people even to this day.
Now those trumpets, I don't know if those are trumpets.
Yeah, sample.
Those are loud. Like that's the first thing you hear when you, and it immediately grabs your attention. So
there's a video for that, so you check it out.
I was watching a video.
Yeah, video was fun. SoundCloud. Shout out to Brooklyn. That's my homie on the second verse. That's my dude right there.
But I immediately compared. I mean, this is high. So, right. But I compared it to Overly Dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it sounds, because I also like, I think My Logo.
Logo. Yeah.
I like that song, and that song reminded me of, I think it's the first song on Overly Dedicated or PMP. We haven't heard that.
Pussy and Patron.
Yeah, I know. But it's, you sound ultra hungry. Like there's something you're trying to say, but you don't know how to say it yet, or there's something inside of you that you're trying to get. Like, is that what's going on, or you trying to find your voice essentially?
Yeah, and those records, I'm really working on finding my voice and putting it in a place where like people understand it's me. But I think in the newer records, the records after that, like Extra or On Me and all of that stuff, is really more of me finding a different voice, or not a different voice, but like finding more of my voice and being able to do that in tracks that you wouldn't necessarily expect me to rap over. But yeah, no, definitely. Back then I still am hungry, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm still like, when I'm writing my records, I'm like, I got to, it still got to, people got to be like, oh, this spitting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also want to do it in a way where it's not like I'm forcing the raps. The raps just come out naturally and I let them be. Yeah, I just let them be what they are. You know what I mean? And it's embedded in me to add that in there. I can't help myself. But when I don't think about it, like before I used to think about it, like I got to have a punchline here. I don't think about it. I just write the rhymes and they come out the way they're supposed to. And so, it's definitely, yeah.
I like that you said that because I listened to Bury Me in Gold Volume 1 today. Yeah. And like you said, you don't want to sound preachy. Like I felt it was teachable, but not preachy.
Yeah.
Like you feel pretty relatable.
Okay.
And the music, I think, is very personal. And it's a good blend, like you said, between songwriting and bars.
Right.
And as I listened, I had a lot of questions. I'm glad you're here. Like the first song, On Me.
Yeah.
Is that to somebody specific or is that just to the concept of failure in general?
No, it's not to people specific, but it's really more just about this idea of like growing and moving on in life. And then some people you got to leave in the back. You know what I mean? Some people just don't know how to grow with you. And so like maybe some people in mind, but I just really just, it just came from somewhere. Like sometimes when I write, I don't know where it's coming from or beyond the grave or whatever, but it that's where it just came from. Like, even the flow, all of that shit, I don't know where that shit came from. Because that's a really, like, unique. I listened to it, I'm like, this is a unique-ass flow. Like, when I switched the flow up. So, it's like, I don't know where it came from, but it's just what, it's what I needed to say. Mm-hmm. And it's really for just, you know, even, like, sometimes people think it's just a high school thing, but, you know, you got that dude that's, you know, stuck in high school because that's the highlight of their life. Yeah. You know what I mean? And for me, like, my highlight, I don't want my highlight to be high school or college. I want my highlight to continuously be, like, I'm 40 and he turned up. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We on a yacht and shit like that, you know, with the family. And so that's really where that song came from. And I wanted to start there because I wanted that to be the premise of me moving forward and elevating as a human being and as a person.
You mentioned, like, I forgot what song it was, but you kept mentioning, like, a lot of heavy loads you had to endure at a young age. Like, yeah. I think you referenced 20.
Yeah.
If you don't mind going specific, like, what was happening in your life at that time?
You know what it really was? It was just, like, because of who my father was, you know, I always felt the pressure to have to be exemplary. Hopefully I hit that word.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. But, you know, I've always felt the pressure to be that. And I knew my father was a great speaker. And, you know, people that were around him was like, you speak like your father, you should do that. This is not what I'm meant to do. I knew in my heart it was music. And so a lot of that has been, like, since I was younger. Even, like, going to college, that's not something I wanted to do. I wanted to just do music. But for my family, I was like, you know, I got to have something to fall back on. And I'm glad I did it, but it wasn't really just to fall back on. It was just so I could probably be able to get a decent enough job that I could survive.
Yeah.
But I think just growing up and knowing who I am and where I come from and just steadily fighting to just always exude that confidence, because we go through ups and downs a lot in life. It's just natural. It doesn't matter. And so
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So a lot of that had to do with, like, always having to exude this confidence and being the son of this man and having to, I can't be mediocre, you know what I mean? I have to be great. And so that's a lot of that shit, along with other things, you know. But those are the things that I can think of off the top of my head. But it's, you know, it's a big thing to want to be somebody and to steadily always be trying to reach for it. But things in your way, or you get pulled this way and that way and this way. And now I'm like more like this. Like, this is where I need to go. So.
How long did that take?
A long time. A very long time, because you get pulled back and forth and you got to figure out your voice. And then sometimes, like, a lot of times, even nowadays, even finding a producer that works really well for what you need to do, or somebody that's in the same realm that you are with your music, songwriting, is hard.
you know, and I just happened to meet somebody that was that good a producer, and we were able to like connect even before than the producer I met before. And you know what I'm saying? I just happened to be lucky. Mm-hmm. Not even lucky. I just think my stars are starting to align, and that's just what it was. But it took a while. If that is a good answer, I'm not sure.
No, speak from the end.
It's a terrible answer. It's just trash.
Whatever's your truth, it's a good answer.
I just got one more. I'm sorry. Yeah. From the volume one. On the outro, Now or Never.
Yeah.
That story that happened to your friend.
It's real. It's real.
That was going to be my clock. And yeah, also, very real. How did that impact you?
Wait, I remember listening. What's the story, though, for the listeners?
So basically, what was it?
Your friend
I got a text from a friend.
On a Thursday.
Basically, yeah, on a Thursday. And he wanted to hang out. I said, nah, let's reschedule it. Told him maybe later. But later never came. He fell off of the roof while he was smoking in the rain. So now there's no more laters, only now. Hold it down. Mm-hmm. So basically, the truth of the matter is, another member of the clique, Precious Gorgeous, a good friend of his, Tommy Rachel, who's a producer and whatnot. I became friends with Tommy through him. And Tommy used to always be like, he's a cool dude. He always be like, yo, man, hey, let's hang out, man, hit the town and stuff like that. No, that's how it was. And I was like, and he would hit me. And I remember back then I had a different girl or whatever I was seeing. And I was like, man, I can't do it because this I'm supposed to hang out with so-and-so. And he was like, oh, okay, man, next time. I was like, yeah, next time, next week. And I didn't hear from him. And then I spoke to my boy. I hit up Precious Gorgeous, and I'm like, what's up? He was like, I guess he sent out a text, a group text about dude's memorial or what happened to dude. And I was just like, what the fuck? What happened? And then I found out that he was smoking on the roof or something. Like, he fell, and he died. And so that shit kind of fucked me up. And I have a weird relationship with death because, you know, my father passed away. But it's like the way my mother raised me was never really to take death always as a bad thing. But this was like just felt so premature that it was like it was weird. And it's like even to this day, like I wrote that in the song because that shit really happened. It was literally a week later. He wasn't here anymore. And you know what I'm saying? I kept procrastinating. And I still do this shit. I don't understand why I still procrastinate sometimes. Like, we're going to hang out, but you never know. Somebody might not be there next time. So it kind of fucked me up in a way because it was like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought he was just going to be there. And it's like, you never know. Like, that shit could be me. I could be like, yo, let's hang out next week. And then I'm not here next week. So that's why I put it in the song because it really connects to the idea Now or Never. Like, you never know what's gonna happen. And so, yeah.
Can you explain a little, if you can, what your mother taught you about death? Because I always find that topic interesting.
My mother really, like, growing up, she basically just told me, you know, death is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a homegoing. Sometimes, you know, it's time for sometimes people, they need to go. And it's weird because when I would see people close to her pass, she would, like, have a very extreme reaction. But I don't know, maybe, like, I've never had extreme reactions to it because depending on what it is, like, if it's, like, you got murdered, that's different. But it's, like, I've seen a lot of people go because it was just their time to go. And it's just, like, well, I'm supposed to be upset, you know what I mean? Like, it's time for this person to go. And I'd rather see somebody go than to suffer. And so I think that's my relationship. I just don't look at it like that. And then, I don't know, man, maybe... You know, certain if so, I don't know. It's just, but that's always been like just how I looked at it. Like, it's not necessarily always a thing where you just go, people don't go. Sometimes somebody got to go. Sometimes it's time for people to go.
Yeah.
You know, and it is what it is.
I want to ask you a question about music again. just took a real somber. I was literally just talking to my dad about it. That's why, like, 2 days ago.
I was sitting there like,
okay, death, okay.
Okay.
Cool. But we got it out the bag. But now I wanted to ask you, like, what are some of your biggest challenges that you find, like, trying to break into the music industry? Because I think a lot of our listeners are, you know, also trying to break into the music industry or just naturally intrigued about, you know, a musician's course to make it big. So what are some of the challenges that you feel like you face?
I think challenges is like finding somebody that can back you and support you that really understands what you're doing and they're not trying to push you in another direction. like, you got to do this. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, you got to rock the ball, man. Like, no, stop it. You know what I'm saying? So it's that. And then it's also the just actually breaking through, because all this little shit that happened, gimmicks, or like people might be related to somebody or this, you know, that helps to propel people. And, you know, just finding out the right stick and the right thing that's going to get you to where you need to be or get you up there is like kind of difficult, I think. But I mean that's really what it is. It's not really creating the music, it's really more making it so that the music gets to the right ears. And so it's like, it's so many things you can do, but then there's so many things that aren't good choices. So that's the real most difficult thing to me, finding a footing. And then there's so much like bullshit, you know what I mean, just in general, with like people. And sometimes you get in positions where, like, I learned when I was younger to not do this, and ever since I've like shed that from me, it's made things a lot easier to me. It's because it's easy when you're a musician to hate on other musicians. It's very easy, because, you know, everybody's circumstances is different. So you might be like, oh, this motherfucker ain't really, he got this. But it's like, it don't matter. That person is working. You know what I mean? They're doing what they got to do, and they're only going to get better. So it's like, that's what that person is supposed to do. And you never know. That shit might not work in that person's favor. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And so once I shed a lot of that, and I was able to get rid of that and just congratulate and be happy for people doing their thing, it was better for me. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess, yeah.
I think that's in everyone's, like, career, though. That's just life in general. Yeah. Like, just not looking at your neighbor or your peer and feeling, like, that natural, like, envy or jealousy. Mm. When someone, like, gets something, I guess, better than what you received, and you feel like you worked harder or you worked just as hard as they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that comes with, like, maturity and, like, just growing up.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that you can just be happy for someone and wait your turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually something will come your way.
Basically.
Yeah, I just deal with the same shit. Yeah, looking at like, people like, yo, where, what?
What the?
You got what?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. You? Like, don't be a hater, bro. Just let it be what it is. You know what I mean? So that's what, that was the hardest thing. Yeah. But I've got to, you know, I've been able to shed a lot of that. And it's really just, I don't know, man. It's a continuous thing, but I'm starting to feel things come click into place. So.
You stop stressing,
like. Yeah. I mean, I think the humbleness comes from just like, it's so easy. I think if you get too cocky, you get caught up in yourself too much. Mm. You can't look outside yourself, and I don't ever want to be that person. I always want one of my homies to be like, yo, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, fuck you. Like, what the fuck? You ugly ass. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need that. Like, why you said that? I'm feeling myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need that sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So your pops was like this great figure and like a great speaker. I would consider you to be a great lyricist and a great artist. How did your father feel about your music?
He didn't really listen to it. He didn't really know. I think a lot of myself, my mother kind of had an idea, but I didn't think they really knew I was as serious as I am. Mm. My brothers, like, not all of my brothers, but a lot of my brothers are really starting to get it now, because they're starting to see the impact and how good the music actually is. Mm. You know, but it took a while, because, you know, shit ain't real. You don't be a rapper. Fucking rappers don't make it. Especially not if you really good. Because that's how jaded some of my brothers are to music. They're like, he good, but you don't make it from being good, which is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But that's what they think, because they come from a certain era. They don't really fuck with a lot of this shit. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I think for my father, I don't think my father's ever heard any of my music, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. He knew I was rapping, but he was so, you know, moving around doing what he did. My father was like this. That's just how he moved. He ain't sit down till he was sick. And he had no choice but to sit down. But for me, I guess it was just, I don't know. I don't think he ever heard it, but I'm sure you're hearing it where you at now. And he like, turn up. Yeah.
That's my son, Black Juice.
Yeah, that's my son. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're putting the message in the music, though.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that's what it is.
It's definitely something, like, I would have my kids listen to. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I would have my nephew listen to. I met a 12-year-old boy over the weekend at one of these events I was at.
Right.
And he listens to hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Uzi Vert. We were just talking about music, and I was with my brother. And he brought up how Uzi Vert was nice. And I was like, how? Give me a bar right now.
Mm.
that doesn't involve him shaking his shoulders and stuff like that. Mm. He couldn't. So right. I gave him, it's funny that you, I gave him a big Big L tape.
Yeah.
And then I gave him a Biggie tape. And I was like, listen to these two, and I have to see him next weekend.
Yeah.
But, sure, it's just crazy how, like, the kids don't really know what good music is.
Wow. Yeah. You are old head.
But I wouldn't even say, I wouldn't even say it's that he don't know good music. Like, Uzi Vert speaking to him, right? Yeah. Uzi Vert's not nice, though, because I'm not saying he's not, like, going off and shit. Like, Kendrick is nice. Kendrick is going off. And some of these niggas is nice. Uzi Vert does what he does, and he does it good. I wouldn't necessarily consider him a nice lyricist. I don't think he would consider himself that. Because he's not going for that. He's just making, his shit is all off vibe and feeling. And he's, like, influenced by rock and all that stuff. So I get it. I fuck with it. He ain't nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At least not for me. I don't think so. But, you know what I mean? It just is what it is. I think it's capable, it's possible to like both. But I do think that the kids need to be exposed to both. And a lot of times they just aren't. If you don't have a father or somebody in your life that's like, nah, you gotta listen to this shit right now.
You need an old head like Ryan.
And sometimes that shit don't even always work. Sometimes it don't always work. Because my brother used to push all these people onto me. And I was like, and then I remember he gave me that Dead Press CD, Let's Get Free. I'm like, yo, this shit fire.
Yeah.
I never forget that shit was fire, that Dead Press shit. And even in, like, I was listening to the Lox. I was listening to ignorant shit back then, yo. Yeah, I was listening to mad ignorant shit. And I was like, this is dope, though. Because you know what it was, though? I think I connected with that rebellious energy. Because they was conscious, but they was street.
Gritty.
Yeah. The motherfuckers street. Dead Press. I liked that shit. I was like, oh, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Let's Get Free. That shit was a classic.
Who's your top five if you have one?
Right now, my top five is probably not going to change. Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas. This is a typical one. Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas, Andre.
Speak your heart.
DMX. Those are my top five.
I like you got Eminem number one.
Eminem's not my number one. They interchangeable.
Whoa! Who, him and Jay?
Eminem's not my number one rapper.
Who's interchangeable?
Huh?
What's interchangeable? Who's the top one, five is a whole?
I don't know. I think number one to me would be between... At this point, between DMX and Jay. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because DMX has music that I can still learn from today. Eminem's music is great, but he doesn't have shit like DMX, like Let Me Fly or Look Through My Eyes, shit where it's like teachable shit. Like DMX could flip from real gangster shit to like philosophy. Like hood, but not even like just regular hood philosophy. Like he's speaking shit that like is universal. It's like, how you even come up, like, how you came up with that?
I mean,
like,
I guess Eminem could teach you some shit, but nothing you want
to
learn.
Yeah, I mean, Eminem was a good
lyricist. Teach you how to hate women and shit.
Yeah, Eminem was a great lyricist, but he's just not my number one rapper. And I also think about, like, I think Jay-Z easily is the most consistent rapper of all of them.
Yeah.
Of all of them. Nobody's more consistent than Jay.
That's a fact.
Yeah, there's nobody more consistent than Jay-Z. And when you go back to Jay-Z shit, when I think about like shit that you can take with you, that motherfucker got songs.
Yeah.
And people are talking about 444 is the first time he really opened up, but it's not true. If you go back to like You Must Love Me, that might be like my favorite. Yeah.
He's saying that too.
Yeah, like he's just very like it might also be that he's a Sag. I could connect with that energy. They both Sagittarius's. Or whatever like that. Him and X. But X wasn't as consistent. He started falling off at some point. But the first two joints are still... Yeah, but the first two joints are still crazy. But M is definitely in there. Andre is phenomenal. Nas is phenomenal.
Underrated.
Yeah.
One of the most
pop up and body his shit.
And then walk away for years again.
Just off a verse. He keep himself relevant for just a verse. Yeah. So I think
that's dope.
But I think, so that would be my top five overall. This new generation, I would say I say Cole.
Okay.
Kendrick. Even with the ghostwriting shit, I would say Drake. You got to.
What? Fiends.
No, you got to because even before then, like, I would just say if I just judge him when he first came out, when I don't think he was getting any of that help, So I would say those three. I'm trying to think who else I really, really like.
You like Wale?
Not like that. Don't put Wale, that on I respect him. Wale, but he well, not in
me. The question.
It's been a great interview. Don't put that on.
Who else I really, really like? Really, those three. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
What about
like,
want to name names? I don't want to influence.
I like Chance. Okay. I think what about Chance Big Sean? Is dope. Big Sean is dope. He's definitely like up there. Schoolboy is. Okay. Schoolboy actually might be in there ahead of a lot of cats because that last album really is phenomenal. Schoolboy. Yeah, Schoolboy. Who else have really those guys like as far as rappers like MCs overall well rounded. I really like those guys. I like Chance. I'm probably missing somebody, but those are the people I really like right now.
Which one of those?
I think Rhapsody is dope too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Rhapsody is dope. Her new tape is dope.
I heard it's phenomenal. She's dope. Yeah, she's I heard really, Power with Kendrick. That was pretty.
Yeah, she's really good. She's good too. But I can't. You know, there's a bunch of cats that are like doing great things, but I just can't think off head right now. Like I mean, there's cats that don't really rap like them, but I like I fuck with A Boogie. I think A Boogie's dope.
He is.
You know, he like acts and sounds like a kid kids I used to teach in the Bronx. So that's why I was like, he's an automatic win for me. I'm like, yo, he sound. I watch his interviews. I'm like, yo, he sound like one of them. I sit down talking to him. Yeah, like he sound like one of them. Like he
that's
sound
how
like
he really
New York.
Talks. That's the sauce.
Yeah. So all types of people, as far as like people that are, you know, prominent Cardi in B. the culture now. I like her. I think she's dope. I like Joey Badass.
Joey.
I think Joey's dope. Yeah, those.
Which of these artists inspire you the most?
I mean, I'm more inspired by the cast that came before me.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even gonna lie. Even the Rakims. I'm a big Beastie Boys fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fuck with the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I love those guys. My man Ad-Rock, the King Ad-Rock with the crazy voice. I fuck with them. I don't know. It depends on the moment. But I'm very much inspired by cats I named in my original top five. The Biggies, the Pox, all of the legends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Puns. Even Nori at some point. I say even Nori. Yeah. The legends. Even I was a Ja Rule fan. Yeah, I was a Ja Rule fan at one point.
Oh, Ja Rule.
Before,
City
he had 50. You know, all of them dudes. Yeah.
But has the City.
No, Ja was the man for a minute.
Everyone in love.
He was the man for a minute. He was the man for a minute. So, like, it's a lot of different people. I would say out of this generation, just the three cats I named, I think, you know, they inspire me.
Mm.
Kendrick, Cole, Drake, even Chance. Like, all of those dudes, because I like to hear that energy from people, you know what I mean? And it inspires me, like, oh, okay. Because when I'm listening to my music, I'm like, it got to be as good. You know what I mean? I got to listen to my shit and be like, oh, this is different, but this shit is on par. And so that's how I write my music.
What are some recent projects that made you go, or damn?
Recent albums that I really like? I would say the Damn album I liked a lot. I don't really listen to these cats like that. Like, I do, but I try not to do it too much because I don't want
to
be that influenced. But I would say, what was the last project I really, really liked? I like the Internet Ego Death.
Mm.
That shit is fire. I fuck with, I just listened to Janae Aiko's new album. I like that. I like, what did I actually like? I like Ray Shrimmer a lot, actually, on the low. Mm. Not even on the low. Like I'm very obvious about that shit. Like, I fuck with Slim Jimmy and Sway Lee, and that's what I could think of. David Bowie. I'm a big David Bowie fan. I go back and listen to Ziggy Stardust.
What you think about Dave East?
I think he can rap.
His feelings.
He's a good rapper. You like David?
That was like one of the most underhanded compliments ever.
He said.
I think he could rap.
No, yeah. I'm not hating
Boys
on
got
him.
Drug,
look, Dave East is a Harlemite. He's got all my respect and my support. I think he's doing what he's doing, and he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Okay.
I don't listen to him like I listen to other people.
Okay.
But I also he hasn't been around enough for me to really like. Because sometimes it takes time. I didn't like J. Cole at first. I couldn't stand J. Cole when he first came out. It took a while for me to get to the point. It didn't take till Forest Hill Drives is when I was like, oh.
We about to wrap this interview up.
I did it.
I take a piss test.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I just didn't at first. I didn't get it. Like I liked his first song and some of his freestyles, and then the music was like, it's like I felt like he was holding back, and I think I kind of felt what was really happening
because
he was trying to please the labels and shit like that. And now when he's just being himself, like I can really connect with it a little bit easier.
Did it take you a long time to get into Drake?
No, Drake this came out. I was like, woo.
This
good man,
that
good man.
First of all,
Kendrick too. Though.
Look, I'm just asking
real
the guest.
Real fast though, because he said that J. Cole was trying to like appease the labels in the beginning, so that's when he heard J. Cole. I'm not gonna lie. When what was that? Spring.
He being recorded.
I know though. Spring 2010 when he came to perform at St. John's, right? Or was it fall 2009?
10.
It was spring 2010. He came to perform at St. John's, and everyone was gassed. Like, oh, he signed the Rock. This is when he first signed the Rock Nation, and everyone was like, oh, we gotta listen to all his mixtapes. And I was listening to them, and I was like, oh, these are all right. Like, it was cool, but like none of it actually like I didn't gravitate towards any of it until he performed it live. And then I was like, damn, like, then the music really hit me. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when he was like trying to appease the labels and trying to put out all these like catchy songs that weren't hitting,
yeah,
like, can't get enough.
Workout.
Can't get enough is fire.
Yeah.
But when he's putting out Workout and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about it now, if I would have heard him then, I'd have been like, yo, nah, I don't see why Jay-Z signed this nigga. But because I got introduced to him before then, and I actually saw him live twice before he actually did all that. I was like, wow.
I think he's a phenomenal artist. I think he's amazing. But I think sometimes it takes time to get to that point where you can just be who you are. And that's,
I forgot what interview he had.
Tall, light skinned dude. He probably it was like, yo, you and he needed to do
that
chicks.
To get that album.
You gotta talk to these chicks. And so that's what he did. You know, I ain't mad at him.
Cause he said that though. He was saying, I forgot what interview it was a couple of years ago. He was saying like how now he can create a hit like effortlessly.
Yeah,
I think it was when Born Sinner came out. He made Power Trip with Miguel. He was telling I did that. I did that like in like I had that thought in 15 minutes. He was like, because he tried so hard before then to make that song, and that shit was
Power Trip was fire. That was fire. So I was like, okay. That's, I feel like I wasn't a fan of that. I didn't really get into him until he dropped Forest Hills. Forest Hills is
the first full album I love from him too. I love his mixtapes. That was the first full album.
I like the last one too. A lot of people don't, but I like it.
That's grown on me a lot. There's some songs on it.
Yeah,
I'm not a super fan.
I'm not a super fan of it, but it's not as trash as I thought it was when I first listened.
Same,
to it.
Same, yeah. It's real.
When I first listened to it, I was like, "Yo, this is trash." I came on here, I had a rant, but
you was mad.
I was tight. You can't just go away for a year and then come back with 2 years and come back with that. I was disappointed. But it's cool. Mm-hmm. We appreciate them.
Good question. You listen to Odyssey?
Yo, my DJ Ron P is always pushing Odyssey on me, and I've heard his shit. He's dope. I don't listen to him consistently, but he's dope.
That's where they say J. Cole kind of crafted his lane. He kind of copied his lane. Odyssey.
Please note, Ryan is saying J. Cole bit Odyssey's
style. No. Odyssey has more of a conscious flow.
I don't know who that is.
That's fine. But
Odyssey is dope.
He's dope. He could write. And he basically was helping Cole produce too on his last project.
Oh, I didn't know that he was.
I didn't know that either.
He was helping.
But Drake got a secret pen. So we're going to let it go.
Prove it.
Anywho.
But nah, man, you on Cooling Out, so we always do. When artists come on, they gotta spit some, so.
Oh, I wasn't expecting
you gotta. Oh, you wasn't?
No.
That's how it happened.
I thought that's what the alarm was for.
I like, word, it was like, oh, it's time to drop some bombs.
Bar up.
You got your flex bombs? Yeah, I ain't got no beat for you.
You don't want these table beats. Yeah, you don't want these table beats, beloved.
You can get that grinding beat going like it's 2003.
Someone give me a pick.
Alright, let me see what I got. Uh-oh. This is my favorite rhyme. I always do this one. If I die now, know my iPhone is scripture. Bomb all you niggas till you all out the picture. Word to my mama, I'm on my fire. You suckers is lullabies. The good night tuck-ins, then fuck you. I didn't stutter. It's time to close up the shutters. Just shut them out of the building and snipe them off from the upper floors. My paws down. Broke out of the dog pound. I started small and grew to cover more ground. They boss tasty. Get scarfed down. My hood up. My mouth covered. My scarf down. That's red, black, and green. No, believe ho. And y'all seem confused, but trust we know. I sip Pinot Grigio and then freak flows. The Alpha Omega. No Greek clothes. Flow crack. I said fuck the Rico. Beast mode. Your pee in your pee. Coat. I never choke like police holds on black men who tried to be peaceful. Zeus.
Jeez.
I just stop it a little bit early, you know what I mean? Just a little taste.
Zeus! Black Zeus!
Clean that blood up.
I always get goosebumps in moments like these.
That's good. That means I did something right.
Yeah, before you get out of here, could you describe the Grinders Mic event? What you thought of it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was dope. I seen a lot of really great
even like on the open mic, like a really good amount of open mic acts. It was a real fun event, man. I had a good time. Even like the performance, like I was dealing with the feedback, but I was, you know, I was hitting with all of this shit, but it was really dope. Like I had a good time on stage. Mm. I got a lot of love, and I felt the love and energy in the building. Shout out to Bizzo. Shout out to NYC Grind. It was dope. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to NYC Grind. Did we mention Sapphire that in the beginning?
C Santana. Yeah, we did. Yeah,
we did mention that you wanted. Oh, you just said it. Yeah. Dope. Yeah. Shout out to C Santana and Sapphire. Sapphire, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They came on the pod. Yeah, they remember them. Yeah. Dope. But we definitely appreciate you for coming out, man. Want to thank you for taking the time to come on the pod. Spit some dope bars. Get your voice out there. Let people hear you. Shout out your IGs, all that stuff, so people can check your music out.
Alright, at Black Zeus. That's B-L-A-C-K Z-E-U-S-X. So Zeus has an X at the end of silent. So that's on there. Same thing on SoundCloud. I'm on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. Search Crimdella, 2 L's, C-R-I-M D-E-L-L-A. Mm. Or just Bury Me in Gold Volume 1 and I'll show up. So if y'all got them streaming services, give me them plays, B.
Word.
Yeah, get them plays up. But yeah, and then also Crimdella.com.
Crimdella.com.
Everything's on there. So
what's next for you?
Shit. I'm finishing up Bury Me in Gold Volume 2, mm-hmm. which is like full length, longer. And I'm just like putting everything in order so that I can hit people with uppercuts this time, and have everything. The next step is to like do this shit like major worldwide. So this next one, it's like we're not gonna hold nothing back. We ain't pulling no punches. So that's what's next for me. Bury Me in Gold Volume 2. In the world. You know,
we got any expected dates for that, or you want to hold on?
Early 2018. Early 2018.
Early 2018. You're already acting like an easy artist. Early 2018.
Yeah, I'm about to go wait for the winner. June. Yeah,
I'm about to go for the juggler.
Yeah, I'm about to kill him first quarter.
That's what I should say. Oh, first quarter 2018. Around that Black Panther movie time.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
All right, man. Well, thank you again for coming out.
Thank you
for having me.
Come on the podcast, as always. You listen to the podcast. You support the podcast. Make sure you show your love, your support by rating, subscribing, sharing the podcast with everyone. Mm-hmm. Just pushing the movement on the world. We're out here trying to, you know, bring you the best talent, the best guests, and just do this every week and, you know, just grow. Mm-hmm. And we need you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Guys, for that. So just keep showing the love and support that you've been showing and just pushing it out there and sharing it with everyone else. As always, this is Cooling Out.
Stay cool.
Word.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.